Gracious God, hear our prayers. God, there's so much tragedy all around us. And there are so many things that cause anxiety and fear. God, I pray that somehow we might find a way to find hope, to find strength, to find solace in you. God, push us to be the church, to love, to encourage, to support, to walk with, to show grace. And God, as I speak this morning, I pray that somehow you might speak through me, that you would give each of us ears to hear what you want us to hear, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do, and for goodness sakes, let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in week 4 this week of our Real Reflections series. We're looking at the intersections of movies and faith. And we've had some great movies. Last week we did Moana. We've done Spider-Man. We did Hidden Figures. Potent movies with potent stories. And it's interesting. I was talking to somebody this week and having a conversation with somebody this week. And out of the blue, they said to me, I really sense God when I listen to this song. And it wasn't some church song. It was some other song. And I thought, that's where it is. If we can find the places in our lives where we're intersecting with art and we can look for God in those moments, I think that God has the capacity to speak to us. Some people say, God never speaks to me. I think the issue is we're not listening. God has the power to speak through a multitude of mediums, and this is one of the ways that God speaks to us. A few months ago, I was coming back from a trip and I was on the plane. And usually when I'm on a plane, I try to catch up on movies that people have talked about recently and movies that have come out and people have said, oh, you got to see this movie, you got to see it. And I saw Conclave and I saw some other movies that were more recent. It was great. But this was a good long flight and Forrest Gump was playing. And it's kind of like The Shawshank Redemption for me. Like if it's on there, I just got to watch it. So I got to the beginning and I'm sitting on the plane and I'm like, man, this feather scene is really long, right? The opening song and the feather and it goes and goes. But once you get past that, I remember this is a beautiful movie. It's a beautiful movie that talks about American history. It's a beautiful movie that starts on a bench. This young man sitting on a bench having multiple conversations, Forrest Gump, with multiple different people. And he's telling his life story, and he's talking with Grace, and he's sitting there with him, and he tells the story of his beloved mama, who loved him so deeply, who, if you've seen the movie, would do almost anything in the world for him. And she did do many things for him. And then his beloved Jenny, or as he would say, Jenny, who he meets early on in the story when he gets on the bus for the first time. And person after person after person said, seats taken. And Jenny said, you can sit here. She opens space for him in the movie and space for his life. And subsequently throughout the movie, he continuously opens space for her. And then there's Bubba. An unlikely friendship that forms in the midst of war. Bubba taught him about shrimp boating, which changed his life, you know, when they invested in a little fruit stock called Apple. Transformed his life. And then, of course, another character that he talks about is Lieutenant Dan. Now, Lieutenant Dan teaches him a lot of things that many of us would rather our children never learn. But he teaches him about life, and he ultimately becomes a dear, dear partner and friend for him. Now, what I love about the story of Forrest Gump, what I love about this movie, what I recognize is Forrest interacts with these different people and he connects with different people and his life becomes better because of it. But the truth is he's making everyone else's life around him better. He's bringing life to people. He is connecting not because he feels some obligation to, but he is connecting with people on the margins and he is sticking with them. Now, as he is sitting on the bench, he has this phrase that he shares, something that his mama shared. And it became such a famous phrase, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And I think he said in the beginning of that, Mama always said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Now, I want to give a word of honesty about those boxes of chocolates. We used to get those from people at Christmas time. And I don't know whether I didn't see the little thing in the top that told you what they were or not. But I had a solution for figuring out what was in every chocolate. I would turn it upside down and stick my finger in it. And if it was something that I didn't want it, I just turned it back upside down and put it in the box. So I have a lot of feelings about boxes of chocolate. But the point that Forrest offers in this story, the point that he's saying is life is filled with many unexpected things. You never know what it's going to throw at you. And I hear person after person after person telling me right now, I never expected my life to be the way it is right now. I never expected this to be the way it is. I never expected this to be the way it is. We are in a season of uncertainty. Anybody agree? There is uncertainty all around us. Things that are coming at us that we're like, whoa, I didn't plan for that. I didn't think of that. And yes, some of that came in that season we refer to as COVID. That season of uncertainty when many of us went home on that March 13th and thought we'd be out for 2 weeks and came back years later. Right, that led to some uncertainty, but I think there's other things that are going on right now. Now, what's interesting about this movie, and I think one of the reasons I'm so drawn to Forrest's personality, is even in the midst of all of the things that go on, he has some really awful things that happen in his life. And even in the midst of all the things going on, all the uncertainty, he lives a pretty worry-free life. He navigates life in a worry-free way. I'm curious, and you don't need to look around. How many people are feeling some anxiety right now? Anybody? Some of us? In our society, in our culture, here's what I want to tell you. The Bible talks a lot about that. The Bible actually talks a lot about anxiety because it's not new to 2025. Anxiety has existed since the beginning of humanity. Anxiety and worry have been a challenge since the beginning. The Bible talks a lot about peace and a universal response to this. So I want to look today at a letter that Paul wrote to the early church, the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. And I want to give you a little bit of background. They are in a season of anxiety. They don't know where persecution is going to come from next. In fact, the one writing to them was one who at one time persecuted them. And they're the early church, and they're trying to follow Jesus in some way, form, or fashion. And they have no clue what's going to happen around them. And this is what he writes in chapter 4. He says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and miss, who are my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. Loved ones, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to come to an agreement in the Lord. Yes, and I'm also asking you, loyal friend, to help these women who have struggled together with me in the ministry of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the scroll of life. Be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say be glad. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. From now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent and anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise. Practice these things. Whatever you've learned, received, heard, or saw in us, the God of peace will be with you. Now, Paul writes these words, and he is chained in prison, in a Roman prison. So think about that. He's telling them, you can always find peace in the midst of whatever your reality is. He is literally chained up in a prison, not knowing if he's going to be taken or not, what's going to happen in his life. I think when we look at a story like this and we know the context that he's writing, it changes the way that we look at it, right? If we know that he's writing from this place of not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring, and we see that he says, rejoice in the Lord always, be glad, follow God, know that you are loved. And when we hear that, we get some practical hope in the midst of the unknown. Now, I love the way he starts this. He begins with, loved ones, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to come to an agreement in the Lord. Yes, and I'm also asking you, loyal friend, to help these women who have struggled together with me in the ministry of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my coworkers whose names are in the scroll of life. It should not be surprising to any of us that the leaders are fighting. Anybody else ever seen church leaders fight about things? Right? It should not be surprising a bit that the people who are in an anxiety-ridden world right now, who are terrified, are fighting. And Paul doesn't say, make sure they agree on everything. He essentially says, push them towards the mindset of Jesus. Push your leaders to focus on Jesus. If they would focus on Jesus and not on their pocketbooks and not on leading and not on growing and not on, if they would focus on Jesus, things are gonna work out. Care about things that Christ cares about. That's the push that Paul is giving the leadership and telling them. Now, I think we get some words from Forrest Gump. I think we get some concepts from that. I think we get some concepts from Paul about how to walk through life with this anxiety. And I wanna give us a picture of that today. First, I take us to Forrest Gump. He lives life with simplicity. Anybody notice that? He lives such a simple life. I think we could learn a lot from that. That's our word for the year, is simplify, here at the church, where we're trying to simplify and focus on the things that are the most important. See, here's how Forrest did that. He didn't dwell on the past, and he didn't spend a lot of energy worrying about the future. You know how many things we worry about the future that never come true? Anybody ever noticed that? I worry so much. I've got a kid going off to college. You know how much I worry? I used to worry he would never make it through school. Well, by golly, he did. Look at that, right? Isn't it funny how much energy we put into worrying about things that haven't happened? And I'm not saying be naive, but I'm saying when we put so much focus on those things, our life is incredibly complicated. It can't be simple. And there's an image in the movie, there's a part where he just starts running. And he runs. And then all these people start following him. And then he gets to the end one day and he says, I think I'm gonna go home now. I'm done running. And people are like, what the heck? This was a movement. He's like, no, it wasn't a movement. I was just running. Now here's what I know. Some of you just wanna run right now. You wanna pack up your suitcases and you wanna run. And unfortunately, that's not the way life goes. Unfortunately, we can't always be like Forrest and just run. But what if we had a little more freedom and grace in our lives to be present in the moment that we were in, and we were able to simply be a little bit? That we didn't worry about tomorrow yet because tomorrow hasn't come. Here's the second thing we get from Forrest, and we get this from Paul as well. We need to focus on trust and not control. If you noticed him and you noticed that the way he told the stories, if you noticed the way that he lived his life, he didn't try to control everything. He didn't try to manipulate everything. He tried to walk through the moments with people, to trust his relationships with others. He loved deeply, he acted kindly, and he persevered through the different situations. We often try to over-control things. Maybe not you, maybe it's just me. But I want every situation planned. I want every situation to go a certain way, and sometimes that doesn't happen. This morning, and I wasn't planning to talk about this, this morning there was an emergency that happened out in front of our church. Several of our worship team members were on the way into church, and they stopped. They stopped to be with the person that had the emergency. They met her where she was, they came in with her, and worship rehearsal started a little later than they planned. Thank God it did. Because they were the church to this person. When we trust and we don't try to control, we have the capacity to live a less anxious life. Paul knew that. He knew that the early church was super anxious about all that was going on around them. He knew the struggles that they have. He believed that Christ had given us an image of how to do life together, how to walk together. I mean, look at what he says in verse 4. He says, be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say be glad. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. It is then that the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. He says, be glad in the Lord. Another translation says rejoice. And that might seem trite to you. You might say, oh, come on, Tim. When I'm anxious and I'm having major anxiety, if you just look at me and say rejoice and be glad, I am going to spit in your face. Because there is nothing about that that makes me feel peace in that moment. I think it might actually. I think if you try to rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the fact that God is with you, rejoice in the fact that Christ is the final victor in the world. If we're able to fully put our trust in the fact that God is with us, I'm not saying it erases. Paul doesn't say get rid of your anxiety. He says don't let it control you. Let yourself walk through it. And then he says, be gentle with others. Be gentle with others. That's a way to reduce our anxiety and to reduce others' anxiety. Y'all, this is a thing I've got to grow in. If I have anxiety and I walk into my house, everybody knows it. Anybody else? Anybody else can sit around you and go, oh yeah, Dad's having an anxious moment. I also tell my family that is not helpful, by the way. It's like if you ever saw Office Space, somebody has a case of the Mondays. It is not helpful to tell me I'm having a case of anxious. But I wonder how different I would be if I was able to be gentle in those moments. If I wasn't short with my family. If I was able to pause and be still, to find gentleness in the middle of the anxiety. Because the truth is, when I react that way, all is not well with my soul. That is the truth. And I am being really honest with you. When I express my anxiety in that way, because then Paul goes on to say, don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God in your prayers and your petitions, along with giving thanks. Don't be anxious about anything. It's a direct command from him. He doesn't say, don't have anxiety. That happens. He says, don't let it control you. Don't let it drive you. Don't let your anxiety be on everyone else. Don't be characterized by it. Shift your focus from anxiety to hope. That's a real intentional decision, friends, to shift our focus from anxiety to hope. And ultimately, he gives us this way to get around it so that it would work with our mind. It says, from now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent, if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise, practice these things. Where in there does it say practice focusing everything on the news and the internet? Seriously, where on there does it say spend all of your time focused on the future of the world that may blow up? Where in there does it say spend all of your time worrying about your kid that's going off to college? It says practice getting your head out of the junk. Practice focusing on whatever is honorable, whatever is noble, whatever is going to bring you life. Because what he knows is that is not our natural thing to do. Our natural thing is to practice, focus on all the things that are around us. And look, I'm not telling you to bury your head in the sand, for goodness sakes. But I am encouraging us that maybe, just maybe, 24/7 information is not helping us. Maybe it's not bringing us peace. Maybe it's not making us peaceful people. Because he says, if we do all of these things, if we focus on all of these things, it is then that the God of peace will be with you. And I remember I used to read this, y'all, and I would say, oh, so God doesn't come till I figure it all out. No, you know what it is? We get out of the way. So then we can experience the God of peace. The God of peace is always with us, but we get in the way. Let me rephrase that. I get in the way. I won't speak for you. I get in the way of the God of peace infiltrating my soul. I get in the way of it. So I want to offer you an invitation today. I want to offer you an invitation to be more like Forrest Gump. And I want to offer you to think about a few things this week. I want to ask you, will you commit to simply doing the next right thing this week? Will you do that? Will you commit to simply doing the next right thing? Not the next 10 right things, the next right thing. Here's the second question. Will you intentionally push your worries aside and trust that God might hold them? Will you, I used to have this lady who was a coach for me, and she talked about like taking your worries and putting them in your hand and trying to physically give them away. Will you try that? Will you try to trust, not control? Will you try to trust that God might hold them? And here's the third thing. Will you actively choose to focus on things that are good for you and for the world? I talked about this a few weeks ago. And somebody sent me, there's a thing that you can sign up that'll come in your email every day called Nice News. And it's just good news. And man, it's nice that that's the first thing in the top of my email. Just some good news. And it's not like earth-shattering news. Sometimes it's like, hey, there are better ways to brush your teeth. Here's nice news, right? Just some nice news. Will you actively choose to focus on things that are good for you and for the world? Paul starts off this passage saying that the leaders need to stop fighting. Anxiety leads to behavior that I'm not always proud of. And then he talks about being gentle with others and giving them grace. And you know what I think the world needs right now? I think the world needs more love. I think we need to share more love with one another. I think we need to share more love with the world. And sometimes in this church, I've had people come up to me and say, Tim, you talk about love too much. I don't know. I think Jesus did. I think he talked a lot about love. So I'm going to invite the worship team up. They're going to give us a moment of reflection right now. They're going to give us a moment to think about how we respond in a world that's anxious. After they do this, we're going to receive communion together. And when we receive communion together, we get to experience the greatest love that we've ever received. Christ has that love for us. We have the table open every single Sunday intentionally. We receive communion every single Sunday because what we believe is that we need to experience that love of Christ. The movie Forrest Gump has some of the best music in the world in it. And one of the songs is What the World Needs Now. Is love, sweet love. Reflect, dance, sing, whatever you want to do.